Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Zags second quarter earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Kim Rogers-Carrier, with Genesis Select Investment Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Patrick. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today for the Zags Inc. second quarter 2012 conference call. On the call today from the company are Robert G. Peterson II, Chairman, Co-founder, and Chief Executive Officer, along with Zags Chief Financial Officer, Brandon O'Brien. By now, everyone should have access to the second quarter 2012 earnings release. If you have not received a copy of the release, it can be found on the investor relations portion of the Zags website under the investor relations tab. This call is being webcast, and a replay will be available on the company's website through midnight, September 2nd, 2012. Before we begin, we'd like to remind everyone that the prepared remarks contain certain forward-looking statements, and management may make additional forward-looking statements in response to your questions. These statements include, but are not limited to, our outlook for the company, and statements that estimate or project future results of operations or the performance of the company. These statements do not guarantee future performance and speak only as of the date hereof. We refer all of you to the risk factors contained in Zags' annual report on Form 10-K and quarterly reports on Form 10-Q filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission for a more detailed discussion on factors that can cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in any forward-looking statements. Zags assumes no obligation to revise any forward-looking statements that may be made in today's release or call. Please note that on today's call, in addition to discussing GAAP financial results and the outlook for the company, the following non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed: EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA. An explanation of Zags' use of these non-GAAP financial measures in this call and the reconciliation between GAAP and non-GAAP measures required by SEC Regulation G is included in Zags' press release today, which again can be found on the investor relations section of the company's website. The non-GAAP information is not a substitute for any performance measure derived in accordance with GAAP, and the use of such non-GAAP measures has limitations which are detailed in the company's press release. And with that, I would now like to turn the call over to Robert Peterson, Zags' co-founder, chairman, and CEO. Robert?
Thank you, Kim. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for participating in our call today to discuss our second quarter 2012 results, another record quarter for Zags, and our second highest quarterly results ever, second only to the all-time record revenue we reported in the most recent December quarter, which is typically our strongest quarter of the year. Revenue for the quarter was $61.6 million, representing year-over-year growth of 58.9%. This is off a very strong second quarter last year, and it is also an 11% increase from the previous quarter, which was, until today, our second highest quarter. The year-over-year increase was the result of an expanded retail channel for our products, which drove strong growth, particularly in the Invisible Shield and keyboard folio sales. The revenue breakdown for our two largest product categories was 41% for the Invisible Shield, with keyboards and folios having a dramatic increase in sales this quarter. Net income attributable to stockholders in the quarter was $5.8 million, up 112% from $2.7 million last year, and a sequential gain of 14%. Fully diluted earnings per share were 18 cents, compared to 10 cents in last year's second quarter, a gain of 80% year-over-year, and a 12.5% increase from the 16 cents reported last quarter. Brandon will discuss the financial results in greater detail following my remarks. The big story this quarter was our success in expanding distribution for our iPad third-generation products in the indirect channel. It was greater than with any previous iPad release. We have seen demand carry over into the second quarter across the board for iPad accessories off the launch of the new iPad last March, resulting in the high levels of sales for Zags keyboard and keyboard folio products I mentioned earlier. Off the launch of the new iPad, we were able to broaden the distribution for the folio and the Flex and now you can find them in our top retailers, including Best Buy, Radio Shack, AT&T, Verizon, and Target. The feedback we are getting on the sell-through of our tablet products is very good, and our research confirms that we dominate the space as the top-selling tablet for keyboards and folio cases with our retailers. We created this space, and we remain the leading brand with excellent products. No competitor offers better products in terms of design, functionality, and quality. We look to continue to leverage our first-mover advantage in the tablet keyboard space with more creative products, solutions going into the holiday season and early next year at CES. Our next big new product this year could be keyboards and folios for the 7-inch tablets, particularly if Apple releases a 7-inch tablet for the holiday season. Let's take a step back and look at how product development and product management is evolving at Zag. I've talked about our product-centric focus in previous calls, and I'd like to lay out how we are progressing on this important goal. At the beginning of the year, Zag implemented a product gating process to filter and qualify all new product concepts that come to the company from a variety of sources, both internal and external, including from customers, suppliers, third parties, employees, and notably our own internal product teams. We fine-tuned the organization of our product management and product development teams to maximize their effectiveness. This was done by defining our new product processes and disciplines and adding the support and organizational tools to help manage the process. We've added product management and engineering talent to these teams. Both groups are working very closely to make sure that the product pipeline remains full and are focused on bringing great new products to the market. As a result, our product pipeline is more robust now than has ever been before. And as we look to extend our product market leadership position in the existing categories, and like we did with the tablet keyboards, create new categories where Zag will be the first to market with creative and compelling product solutions. In the past 60 days since implementation, we have reviewed over 100 new product concepts, with several making it to the list of planned product launches. As we go into the holiday season and the CES trade show early next year, we'll be introducing products in new categories that leverage our existing product strengths. We've developed products for the potential entry into a new product category line that we believe will represent a significant opportunity for Zag as device processing power continues to increase and mobile software becomes more robust. Now, we can't be any more specific at this particular opportunity due to competitive concerns and uncertainty around launch timing, but suffice it to say that we are working hard on both near and longer-term opportunities. Before the end of the year, we will be releasing two new generations of keyboard products and keyboard cases that will further extend our leadership position in this category. Zag was first to market in tablet keyboard cases with the ZagMate at the end of 2010, and our upcoming line of keyboards and folios will be optimized for new tablet sizes in keeping with our device-agnostic strategy. This quarter, we announced some changes to our leadership teams and have a new executive vice president of marketing, Kent Withrich. Kent came to us through the iFrogs acquisition, where he was a founder and a vice president of creative. With his team, he has been putting together a consolidated and comprehensive marketing and branding strategy based on one overarching brand message for Zag as a company and then for each of our branded lines. We look at Zag as a company that holds a portfolio of brands, where one of the leading brands is eponymous, this strategy will allow us to buy or build more brands in the future. Today, Zag breaks down into three brand categories. Zag, which is our tech accessories brand, delivering added value technology in each new product. This is our premium, long life, cycle product line. Invisible Shield, which will continue to make better shields for consumers with differentiated features and premium price points. iFrogs, which is our youth-oriented, value brand that is nimble and quick to market in response to trends, fashions, and fads that consumers are looking for at value price points. With this more focused strategy, we aim to lead brand first by making the brand identity names and marks more prominent in our packaging and displays in an effort to build greater brand awareness and affinity with our customers. This will be particularly important to the iFrogs brand, where we have several product lines like Air Pollution, iFrogs Audio, and Boost. We create products that are featured and promoted with brands that consumers are seeking. For CES in early 2013, we will be updating our packaging and collateral to reflect this new approach to our branding strategy. Another refinement to our leadership structure was announcing Derek Smith as Executive Vice President of Sales. Derek now leads the company's global sales efforts to increase distribution in retail outlets and online, both domestic and international. Under this new alignment, Derek is currently building out an international sales strategy on a country-by-country basis, and then by retailer and cellular operators in each geography. He anticipates finalizing his plan by the end of 2012 and have people in place ready to hit the ground running on January 1st of 2013. Based on our present experience with retail outlets and rollouts, we anticipate revenues under this particular part of the plan from these new international markets by the end of 2013. As I say every quarter, our results reflect the successful implementation of our business strategy. We continue to focus on three objectives of the company: creative product solutions, the preferred brand, and targeted global distribution. We feel like we are making progress against all three objectives. In terms of targeted global distribution, as we release new product categories and new improved or enhanced version of existing product categories, we are developing a methodology and discipline around building targeted strategic distribution. We work collaboratively with retailers to help them achieve their strategic goals by offering product that enables retailers to attain their objectives in their mobile sales strategy. We are looking to minimize channel conflict by being thoughtful and methodical in product placement, particularly for new products. This will help us get more of our latest products into specific retailers while allowing us to continue to broaden our retail presence with the balance of the product line. We continue to build and implement internal systems that improve the operation of our business. One example is the incentive compensation program we rolled out this year, tying teams' goals to our broader company objectives, which seems to be working very well and continues to help focus each of the company's functional teams. Another example is the Zach Logan office up in Logan, Utah, previously known as the iFrogs office, which has successfully converted to Zach's ERP system, effectively improving reporting and budgeting. This quarter, we started moving some of our inventory by ocean freight. By doing this with one of our high-volume product lines, keyboards and folios, we are projecting a freight savings of over $4 million over the next 12 months. We have tasked our product development teams to maintain the gross margin targets of their categories, and I'm delighted to say that based on current manufacturing and distribution costs and estimates of future costs, the products slated to roll out this year and next year are at or above product margin guidelines. Zag is a leader in an exciting category with a secular growth opportunity, and we are still in the early innings of this game, creating distribution, product, and brand, where Zag is at the forefront. There's a lot of excitement around the company as we see strong momentum going into the second half of the year. We are pleased to welcome two new board members to our board of directors: Dan Maurer, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Consumer Group at Intuit, and Todd Heiner, Founder and Chief Executive Officer of Express Locations, LLC, T-Mobile Stores, who both joined our board in July. Zag is building a board that can help guide us on our journey to build a global brand. And these new directors each bring with them extensive leadership skills, retail experience, and global brand and marketing expertise that will be extremely valuable to Zag in our quest to become a billion-dollar company. With that, I would like to turn the call over to Brandon O'Brien, our CFO, for a detailed review of the financials. Brandon.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you to all our listeners for joining us on the call today. As stated in today's release, we will be disclosing consolidated financial results reflecting our main business unit, Zag Inc., and the results of our subsidiaries, iFrogs Inc., Zag Europe Limited, and Zag International. On the call today, I will speak only to consolidated results unless otherwise stated. The financial statements provided in today's release reflect Q2 2012 financial details for our subsidiaries as well as consolidated results, so you may refer to them for further clarifications. The quarter I'm referring to for the purposes of today's call is Q2 2012. Revenue for the quarter was $61.6 million versus $38.8 million in the quarter from the prior year, representing year-over-year growth of 59%. The current quarter revenue includes $16.1 million from our iFrogs segment. We acquired iFrogs in June 2011, and there was only 9 days of revenue contribution included in the prior period, so $2.4 million. The breakdown for the sources of revenues is as follows. For the quarter, 79% of sales came from our retail channel versus 72% in the same period last year. 14% of sales were from Zag.com and iFrogs.com versus 22% in the same quarter last year. And 6% was from the kiosk and standalone stores versus 4% in the same quarter last year. The balance of 1% came from shipping and handling versus 2% for Q1 2011. International sales accounted for 12% of total revenues in the quarter, as compared with 10% the prior year period. International sales grew on a dollar basis primarily due to expanded distribution in Europe. We continue to see diversification in our product revenues, with 41% of revenues coming from the Invisible Shield product line versus 63% in the second quarter of last year. Gross profit for the quarter was $28.4 million versus $17.8 million in the second quarter of 2011, which translates into gross margins for the quarter of 46.1% versus 45.8% for the same period last year. Operating income in the quarter was $10.8 million versus $4.2 million in the same period last year. Operating margins for the quarter were 18% compared to 11% for the same period last year, which were impacted by some non-recurring charges specific to that quarter. We also incurred $1.5 million in stock compensation expense during the quarter, compared to $2 million in the second quarter of 2011. The effective tax rate for the quarter was 39.2%, compared to 36.6% for the same period last year. We are making progress on our global tax reorganization and anticipate tax savings starting in 2013 as we implement the strategy. Net income attributable to stockholders in the quarter came in at $5.8 million versus $2.7 million in the same quarter in the prior year. Our fully diluted share count for the quarter was 31.7 million shares, a 16% increase in the diluted share number as compared to the second quarter of 2011. Total shares issued and outstanding at June 30, 2012 were 30,326,229. At June 30, 2012, we had 1 million outstanding options, 0.9 million outstanding warrants, and 0.7 million outstanding restricted stock grants. We use the treasury method in calculating our diluted shares outstanding, which assumes that proceeds received from the exercise of warrants and options are used to purchase shares in the open market before new shares are issued. On a prospective basis, for the remainder of 2012, our diluted shares outstanding will be approximately 33.0 million shares. Our fully diluted earnings per share were 18 cents for the quarter versus 10 cents in the same period last year. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter came in at $15.1 million, or 48 cents per diluted share. That compares to adjusted EBITDA of $9.5 million, or 35 cents per share, for the second quarter 2011. This represents an increase of 60% in adjusted EBITDA as compared to the second quarter of 2011. Turning to the balance sheet, working capital at the end of the quarter was $72.3 million, compared to working capital of $74.5 million on December 31, 2011. We reported a cash balance of $12.5 million. For the second quarter, we were net users of cash due primarily to our investment in inventories as we purchased and started moving a large portion of our inventory by ocean instead of air freight and built up our inventory levels for keyboards. We estimate that this will result in savings of about $4 million over the next 12 months on a pre-tax basis. The balance on the line of credit at the end of the quarter was $2.6 million, representing accrued interest on the outstanding term loan, and the term loan balance of $41 million as of the end of the second quarter. Accounts receivable for the quarter were $40.5 million as compared to $45.5 million on December 31, 2011. DSOs in the quarter were 59 compared to 59 for the quarter ended December 31, 2011. We continue to be very comfortable with the quality of our accounts receivable. Inventories for the quarter were $34.2 million, an increase of $4.6 million from the December 31, 2011 balance. We continue to evaluate inventory on a monthly basis and reserve against slow-moving inventory as needed. We feel our current inventory levels are in good shape worldwide. As noted in the press release that went out this afternoon, we are raising our guidance for the remainder of 2012 with revenue to exceed $256 million based on our current distribution partners, product mix, and pricing outlook. We forecast gross margins in the mid to high 40s and adjusted EBITDA in the range of $56 to $61 million. This forecast is based on the anticipated continued presence of Zag and iFrog's branded products in the existing channel, an increase in the percentage of sales from higher ASP products, and new product launches. With that, I'd like to turn the call back over to Robert.
Thank you, Brandon. Operator, at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Q&A. Operator.
Thank you. If you have a question at this time, please press star 1. If you have a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Mike Maloff from Craig-Hallum Capital. Your line is open.
Great, thanks a
lot. Mike Maloof?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, thanks, guys. A couple of questions for you. Maybe we could just get a little bit of color on the inventory. How much was really focused in on the shipping change that you're going to do that'll be a big benefit, and then how much with regards to, say, the increase in keyboards?
Yeah, great question, Mike. We had about $3 million of that increase is come as a result of getting inventory on the water as opposed to air freighting it. The rest of that is came from increasing our inventories of the keyboards and the folios. As you may recall, we had been in a position where in the past we were shipping everything as quickly as we could. We were able actually to get some of that over here. We were able to catch up and have built an inventory supply here in the U.S. to better service our customers on a timely manner.
Great. And then a question on HZO. I know that continues to cost you on your minority interest there. Any updates there and any sense of how much or how long that drag on your income is going to be there?
HZO continues to progress, Mike. What we're seeing is that the way that it's working, the technology, as it continues to improve, the strategy to go directly to OEMs is a longer, life cycle. And we do anticipate that we'll have a little, continued drag until we start seeing those revenues. We can't, calculate exactly when those revenues will be at this time, but the time frame certainly is getting shorter than longer in terms of it, being able to start seeing, the actual revenues coming in. And we're pretty confident. Again, it's a separate company. We can't speak directly for that for HZO, but from everything we're seeing right now, we anticipate that we'll start seeing revenues within the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay, great. And then maybe just a final question with regards to the accessory market, you know, minus the invisible shield. How is the competitive environment out there right now? What's the response been from some of the competitors? Are you seeing more competitors come in there? Is it more cutthroat than it has been, just given how large the market has grown over the last year or so? Or are you kind of, you know, running away with it, so to speak? Thanks.
You know, we're still able to maintain our market leadership position and seeing good momentum there with the retailers. For retailers to switch and to go with another vendor, even if they did have a product that was comparable, which we don't believe that there is another option that is as good as ours, but even if they did, there are a couple of other, you know, things that they have to consider, and one is IP. We have a lot of IP around our Invisible Shield line and strong protections there. Also, the logistics of how we're able to deliver hundreds of new device launches every year and different cuts, and logistically to be able to have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of devices on shelves the day of launch, products for various devices on the shelves is a very difficult thing to do. And there aren't many companies in the world that can do what we do. And so, you know, luckily we still have the quality of the product that dominates in the marketplace, and consumers believe that we have the best quality, and we continue to improve that. We continue to look at variations and improvements of the film. You'll see some other variations and improvements of the film coming up later this year that are pretty exciting as well. So we believe that we are holding our market position for the Invisible Shield and continue to expand it.
Great. Thanks a lot for the color, and thanks for answering the questions.
Thanks, Mike.
Our next question comes from David Strasser from Janney Montgomery. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. I guess two questions. First of all, what is the status of the rollout within Walmart of Invisible Shield?
You bet, David. Walmart, as you know, is a new account for us on the Zag branded product lines. We'd already had a great relationship in selling a lot of products through the iFrogs branded product lines. Through audio and cases. The Invisible Shield we rolled out at the end of last quarter with one SKU, and it's done well. I believe it's exceeded their expectations, and we plan to continue to roll out, and we anticipate to continue to roll out additional SKUs, not just with the Invisible Shield, but other product categories. You know, that's something, of course, that we can't be definitive about at this time, but that would be our anticipation.
Okay, and I guess another question, as you raise the revenue guidance into the back half of the year, do you think that's coming more from, where do you think that incremental revenue comes from? Is it iFrogs? Is it Invisible Shield? Is it the accessory? Where do you think is the biggest delta there?
Yeah, you know, really it's, Because Apple dominates as a device manufacturer right now, the launch of the iPhone 5 is and has been for the last, you know, four iPhones and tablets that have been launched in the past, they've been very strong indicators for us in terms of our revenue and our revenue growth, and you can see a pattern that, you know, even though we're device agnostic, because Apple leads the way right now in terms of manufacture in this industry, we definitely follow that lead. We had anticipation, and others anticipated that potentially that the iPhone 5 would be launched earlier in the year, as early as June. And if you look in years past, potentially in July, August, we anticipate now that it most likely is going to be later in the year and in the fall. And so we base our revenue and our guidance on that. That would be a big piece. The other, of course, is the potential for the mini iPad, a 7-inch iPad that we would have accessories for and be able to have those on the shelves as well. And in addition, in terms of the other areas of growth, we believe that our online sales will continue to be strong. Of course, the fourth quarter is always the strongest quarter for our online sales, and so that would be a strong, indicator for us in the fourth quarter. And then continuing to expand our iFrog's branded products into some of our existing channels and seeing the growth that we've gotten into some new accounts and expanded SKUs in some new accounts in the last few months, that we'll see that actually proliferate over the next few months.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
Our next question comes from John Hickman from Ladenburg. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Last quarter, we talked a little bit about what your expectations were regarding the stock-based compensation. And I seem to remember that you guided for around $600,000, and it turned out to be about $1,500, $1.5 million, which is a difference of $800,000. And I think that showed up in your SG&A expenses. So could you talk about that?
You bet, John. This is Brandon. And just to touch on that, what Robert alluded to in his comments, the fact that we were able to offer to our employees the option to take part of their bonus in stock. We had a very strong following. The majority of our employees opted to take that in stock, showing the overall, belief they have in the success that we're going to have as a company. So it was a good thing for us. It was a little bit higher than we had anticipated, and that was what kind of led to the increase in the stock-based compensation. If you go for the rest of the year, we're going to average about $1.2 million a quarter for the rest of the year to amortize those restricted stock grants that will vest next year.
Okay, and then could you repeat, international sales were 14%?
12%.
12%.
Yep.
Okay, and then
$14 million was online.
And then, $3 million, I want to go back to the question about inventories and how much was due to shipping on ocean.
Uh-huh.
So there was a $9 million difference from first quarter to second quarter in your inventory levels.
Correct.
And you said three of that was due to shipping on the ocean.
Putting product on the water. If you break it down, we've got 74% of our inventories is in finished goods and 26% is in raw materials. So we put product on the water. We were also able to, with our manufacturer in China, to get a little bit ahead of the demand so that we could build up some stock of the keyboard product line here in the U.S., and that's the majority of the other delta, the remaining $6 million delta.
Okay. Thank you. And then margins, you still expect mid to high 40%. It's just repeating what you said earlier. Right?
That's correct. Yep.
And the fluctuations will depend primarily on how much goes through the retail channel versus how much goes through your...
Not so much. Really, what affects that is the sales mix shift. So, obviously, our Invisible Shield film has the highest gross margin on that. So as we're seeing success in some of our other product lines, that's impactful on that gross margin line. But even with the different gyrations we're seeing there, we still are comfortable with the mid to upper 40s as a range for gross margins.
Okay. And then the $4 million in savings from shipping on the ocean will be reflected in gross margins?
It will be. Yeah, it will reflect your gross margins, and we'll see that over the next 12 months.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, John.
If you have a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Mike Lattimore from Northland Capital. Your line is open.
Sure, thanks. Hi, Robert and Brandon.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Excellent quarter there.
Thank you.
I guess on the keyboards and folios, did your supply and manufacturing of those, do they meet demand in the quarter?
Yeah, you know, as we alluded to, we were able to grow that inventory balance, and so we were able to keep up with the demand, actually got a little bit ahead of it, which is good for us. So now we don't have to expedite those products. In the future, we'll be able to get those on the water. So we've built up a good stock here in the U.S. to meet the demand that we're seeing.
And then, you know, obviously the iPhone unit volumes, just kind of industry-wide, were down sequentially. Did you see kind of your products that are most closely aligned with that also follow a similar trend or different?
You know, again, Apple products are not our only manufacturer product lines, and so you're going to see a similar trend probably with the Apple products themselves, but because we have other, you know, device manufacturers in there in the mix, it's going to be spread out a little bit. But one thing that Apple did have, of course, that was very evident was that the iPad sales were up and much higher than they anticipated, and we saw that as well. And so there's a balancing that takes place there. So you may not see as many units, but you're seeing you know, the average selling price increases a little bit with the iPad, accessories and the invisible shield for the iPad, and so with the average selling price being a little bit higher, there's some compensation there.
Yeah. And then on iFrog, what's the rough mix between audio and cases at iFrog nowadays?
Yeah, that the differentiation between those two products, I mean, we're still seeing, you know, we've seen a transition as it goes to more audio products as away from case products. And currently where we're seeing that right now is, you know, you've got a mix of it's about a 70-30. So it's transitioning further away from 50-50 as we're seeing such strong demand for the audio products, particularly in Walmart.
And then just keep the same tax rate the next couple quarters here. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, this tax rate it's a bit of a beast to get through there exactly where we want it to be. It's taking longer than we had hoped it would to implement our international tax strategies. I mean, some things that were impactful on our tax rate during the current quarter is we had. In the current quarter, the tax rate was affected by the percentage of the manufacturing credits that we get as we transition more of our sales to the Chinese manufacturers and less of it is the invisible shield. That's a little bit impactful. We're closing down our operations in the UK as we've transitioned everything over to Ireland. So there was a little bit there that we won't be able to realize that tax benefit. So that's what kind of drove the rate up from last quarter. You know, when we've been 36, 37, we went up to 39. I still think as we projected out for the rest of the year, we're going to be 37, 38 is the rate that we're currently looking at.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
This ends our Q&A session for today. I will pass it back to management for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. I'm delighted with our progress as a company and as a brand in this quarter. Zag is undergoing a productive evolutionary change as we build our company for the future. We remain the market leader in our sector, and we have an exciting pipeline of products poised to expand our leadership position in the mobile device accessory sector. I'd like to thank all of our team members for their hard work this quarter, and to express my thanks to all of our retailers and customers and partners, business affiliates, of which we could not achieve our goals and hit these numbers without everyone playing their part in their role. So thank you very much, everybody, and it's a great time to be part of Zag. And thanks for participating in today's call. We appreciate your support as shareholders and for your interest in Zag. We appreciate you speaking with us, and we look forward to talking to you again on our next quarterly conference call. Have a great day, and go Zag.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for participating in today's program. This concludes the program. You may all disconnect.